Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. The American criminal justice system is totally absent. There is no such thing as justice in America. The scales of Lady Justice are imbalanced, especially against people of color. We must continue to fight against the grave imbalance to ensure a humane, just future for all people. All people, for the homeless, for the poverty-stricken, for the weary and the beaten of America. All across our country, we must demand that justice be served for all people. The criminalization of the United States citizens by the injustice system is now one of America's largest industrials. Prisons has become privatized and inmates compromised. Cheap labor for the big corporations, Apple, Computer, and the Defense Department, and among many others. The United States of America not only has the highest percentage of its population in prison, it has the highest absolute number, substantially higher than China. A country whose population is four times larger than that of the United States. But a country with fewer people in prison, how can that be today? How can that be? That tells Americans something, or it should tell all Americans something. But they are too brainwashed to see it. And we should not praise prosecutors for false charges. We should drive them from office. We cannot praise when they're doing wrong. This country have a history of praising law enforcement, especially when they have done something wrong. We must stand together today and continue to fight this battle. We must stand and stand up for what's right, because we're dealing with a system. You know, the struggles that have taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point, one that holds a numerous lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor, Michigan, is a war over whether America will have prosperity and democracy or live in poverty under the heels of open corporate rule. We must stand together. We must stand together and fight this terrible thing. Today I'm going to talk about target individuals. Oh, I know a lot of people say, well, there's no such thing. But we're going to prove today that the target individuals do exist. And we have to do something about it. We have to stand up and say no more. We have to go face to face, eyeball to eyeball, with this government. It's me today and you tomorrow. So we have to continue this fight. We must continue to fight for what is right. And I'm going to play a little excerpt This is Watch Conspiracy Theory, Jesse Ventura, Target Individual. Listen closely.
That they may be being subjected to what's known as psychotronic weapons and biocommunication technology. The complaints seem to be increasing. I've specifically been working with one self-reported group of over 1,000, what are called targeted individuals.
Targeted individuals? Define that for me. What is a targeted individual?
This is a moniker that these people have put upon themselves. They believe that they are specifically targeted.
Targeted individuals. They're the ones who say they're being harassed and tortured by voices in their heads. The ones who are mocked as people in tinfoil hats. These aren't just crazy people. These are regular citizens who feel they're being targeted.
This is a highly educated group. Over 50% of them have a college degree. Over 12% have postgraduate.
million people. How could they do this to thousands of people at one time?
Well, Governor, that's why I came to you, to help find those people that could answer that.
They call them TIs, targeted individuals.
Jesse takes the case to his team. Investigator, Jude Sarbon. Advisor, Raverman. Sean Stone, son of controversial director Oliver Stone. And Jesse's son, Tyrell.
These are people out there, and apparently there's thousands of them that are getting targeted by sound waves in some way that's putting voices in their heads, and the symptoms are all the same for all of them. That's the consistency. It's being done to them by someone, some entity.
Well, Governor, I looked a little bit more into this. There was a cluster of incidents where TV presenters were somehow affected by some kind of radio wave. Well, a very, very heavy rotation. Tonight we have a derision by Pitt. They have the clothes for the bit. It's really bizarre. They're on screen, they're talking normally, all seems fine, and then all of a sudden they all wake into gibberish, and they're completely out of control. The presenters in America, in Canada, and even Judge Judy.
I mean, that was people who get possessed. Like, I know, seeing that happen, I wonder if it's demonic or if there's technology behind it.
No, this looks like technology. I think it's demon.
It wasn't demon. Strokes and other ailments were also ruled out. So what could it be?
Interesting, Judge Judy's quote. My head was definitely pounding. I was very uncomfortable, and I knew something wasn't right. I was terrified and confused.
The fact that I have so many TV reports.
Let me say this to everybody. Target individuals is here. People are being targeted by our government. They're using electronics to control the mind. I'm going to bring on Danny, and he will tell you more about it. Danny, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I know that before I left 2.5 years, I will always have what we call a TI hour. My job is to expose corruption and wickedness. And I am so happy to have you on today so you can tell the people all about being a TI, a target individual, or whatever you want to say. I want you to talk about it. I want you to tell us about it. And I want you to educate the people on really what it is. Can you take the time out and tell us this, please?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm from Newcastle, Delaware, and the situation here is one that's not like anywhere else because everyone else besides myself are able to hear the perp when he speaks. But they are also allowing these people to hear my communications. I have no privacy at all. This all began back in March 1997 when I had gotten incarcerated. While I was incarcerated, the state government wanted to resolve one of the assistants with solving the disappearance of Tom Carper's press secretary. They brought the FBI in. Bill Clinton allowed the FBI to come in and to assist them. When the FBI came, they brought this technology here. And they were able to access the man's mind who they suspected was guilty of it. And they secured the evidence that they needed to arrest him. And he's died while he was in prison. But what they brought here was all experimental. A lot of it was not being used in the public, such as artificial synthetic telepathy. That was not known of in 1997. But in 1998, I was able to begin to communicate with people with my mind. I could speak without opening my mouth. I can still do it to this very day. But being a TI isn't to the extent of the things that I'm being exposed to, because they're using me as a genuine human test, as a guinea pig, more or less. They're lab rats for advanced technology, because I'm able to do this, something that no one in the mind control community has been able to tell me how it's even possible. I'm able to communicate with people through a live television broadcast. I can communicate with people through computers. If you have a live webcast going on, I can come through that and communicate with you. I can create visuals and project them to you so that you're able to see them. My situation is a little different from most other people. I have been able to create visuals and project them to people on the other side of the world. I mean, it's just a crazy situation, but being a TI, you don't have any privacy. All privacy is eliminated.
Danny, let me ask you a question. When did all this start?
This started in March of 1997. I got my release in January of 1999. I documented everything. I have calendars, the details, the people that I communicated with, who I contacted, the things that they were doing, because I knew that what was occurring to me was not normal in any sense of the word. That's why I documented everything I wrote. I have written to so many politicians, and they have all ignored me, with the exception of one politician, and that was Carol Moseley Braun. She's the only one who wrote me back, and this was in 1998. She wrote me back and told me, unfortunately, she's unable to assist me. Now, Maxine Waters, I had written her. She didn't know what was going on at the time, but she still never bothered with contacting me, and she has seen me since. And she knows that I'm that individual who wrote her back then, but she still won't speak out in opposition to this being used. Joe Biden himself is working to keep this system active. I've told Biden and others that this system has the ability to impact on people in other states. But still, Joe Biden will not let this be cut off. I have proof. I have correctional officers who have stood up and have admitted that they did do this. They activated this system. But Biden still will not allow it to be turned off. Barack Obama, he knew about this. He would not do anything. Now, if the President of the United States goes along with this, we have very little choice except to go international and trying to get assistance for this. Or else we need to mobilize as a people and create such an immense problem that they will have no other choice except to address it.
And
now,
right.
I have media personnel.
Danny, before you go on, you know there's over a million TIs in this country alone.
I didn't know it was that many in this country, but I wouldn't doubt it.
It's at least a million. Across the country. What you're saying, Jesse Ventura been investigating this for years, and he found out what you're saying is true. It's not someone who are nuts, someone who they try to classify TIs as being insane, you see, but you have to see through what they're saying in order to make this thing happen. Danny, you know, it's important that you let people know how this thing came about. Give me your take on how it all came about. Can you do that for me?
How this all came about, what the TI situation?
Start targeting you.
Me? I was aware of what they were doing back in 1997 in the prison. I picked up on the system for some reason. I don't know if I'm sensitive to these rays or what, but to this radio signal, but I knew what was occurring as it was occurring, because they originally were like trying to get Tom Capano. They wanted to get the evidence they needed to go ahead and convict him. But for some reason, I was affected by the signal and knew what was going on and refused to go along with them. So they just directed it at me, and it's been, they have been going at me for all their words. I mean, they have just been trying to do everything. They have destroyed my, they have virtually destroyed my life. They've turned even family members against me. They have some of my own family members. That's how sick these individuals are who are responsible for this technology being used. And I mean, I have been to New York. I've been to D.C. so many times. New York. I have gotten so many ministers, made them aware of this, and none of them have tried to do anything. None of them have tried to lift a finger. Individuals that's world known all over the world. I mean, people look up to them like they're God's gift to people, but these ministers have shown themselves to be not truly men of God. That's the best way I can put it. Because if they were truly men of God, they would be showing us love, all TIs love. Because we are all God's people.
I took a group of TIs to Washington, D.C. to confront House members. Right before I went to prison, I took a group. We met in Washington, D.C., and only problem we had, we had envelopes of incidents that was happening, and we was able to verify the incident, and that's one of the reasons why we decided to take those the gold to Washington, D.C. I truly believe that that being a target individual is real. It's real, and I want people to know that this stuff is real. This is not made up stuff. This is not stuff that people see. A lot of times, they label you as being nuts. That way, people don't listen to you. You see, here in America, if they label you as being nuts or being crazy or don't know what you're talking about, they'll try to label you. And once they label you, it'll start snowballing. So, Danny, like you said, you've been to Washington a lot of times. Tell me some of the things that you have done to make people aware about being a TI.
Oh, I have, like I said, I've done tried to start a petition here. No one here in this city would sign the petition. I try to ask the ministers to place it in the church so it could be signed by the members of the congregation. They wouldn't do it. They were opposed to it. Here, well, what have I done? I've just traveled. I've been up to New York. Like I said, I've been to Washington. I've done tried to start a petition here. I've asked members of the state government in Delaware to go ahead and enact legislation, create a new law to make this illegal. They refused to do any of that. I have proven. Everything that occurred to me has already been proven. In fact, it was brought to my attention that a correctional officer even spoke up just yesterday and admitted that it was true, that everything that I had said was true. I have so many people who have admitted the truth about this. I have people who have admitted that I've been able to speak to them, looking them right in their faces, and communicate with them with my mind. Here they are using everybody, seems like, as a test subject now, because everyone, too many people are able now to use their minds and try to communicate with me. It's just a sad situation, and no one cares. But I don't know. We have very little chance. Because Ban Ki-moon, head of the UN, I've been made him aware. I've seen him on television and projected visual through the television to him. But he said that he can't do anything because I'm not a country. It takes a country, another country, to appeal to the UN and oppose what's happening in order for them to address it. And that's one of the things that have TIs handicapped. We are individuals within a nation that approves of this being done. And but, I don't know. I really, yes, sir.
Here's one thing, you know, this is more of a, it's bigger than just a human right violation. I believe that there are things, there are always strength in numbers. So one of the things that I like to see that you do and everybody else do is to stay focused on the bigger picture. Let us recruit these people and bring them into fold and show them what we're capable of doing. That's why I took a group to Washington, D.C., so that we can present our case to the House. We don't, even if they don't do nothing, the case is we make them aware of exactly what's going on. And to me, that's how we have to do. And we can't fight with each other. One thing about targeted individuals, reason unknown, they have to fight with each other. You are not the enemy to another target individual. Matter of fact, you are his friend or her friend. You cannot break this system down by being angry with each other. And it doesn't make a difference whether you're black, white, brown, red, pink, yellow, or any other color that you may want to be. The key is we got to unify. We got to come together. And Danny, I know where you're coming from. I have always been a friend of the T.I.s, and I always will be, because I understand. I'm like Jesse Ventura, who believes that the T.I. is a real thing. And they can get in my mind. They can get in your mind. They can get in my neighbor's mind. They can get in anybody's mind, because they're capable of doing such a thing. But, Danny, what I really want to know is that, what are you doing to help stop this? Is there anything you do specific? Because I do have other TIs on the line, and I want you to tell, what are you doing yourself to stop this?
I just have a letter writing campaign. I continue to alert the public to make them aware of this and what is capable of this technology. And I'm just trying to bring people together, see, because I was more or less cast out of the mind control community some years ago, and so I just went solo with my work, and I have been very successful by working by myself and alert, making people know, letting them know. Because one thing that's to my advantage is that I'm able to do the things that I can do. I can make others feel the effects, feel what a TI has to go through. I can make them experience it firsthand for themselves. And that's one thing.
You got firsthand knowledge of it. That's important. And let me say this to you, Danny. We just about ran out of time on this segment, but I really, really appreciate you. I believe you. I believe what you're saying. And I want other people to understand that it exists. Target individual is real, and you better get to know this government will do anything. There's nothing that this government wouldn't do. You know, everybody is expendable. I don't care who you are, even the president, he's expendable. You know, but we have to take a stand. There's strength in numbers, and I want the TI and my TI community to understand we must stop fighting with each other. When we fight with each other, they don't have to do any fighting. If you get mad at another TI, keep it to yourself. So, Danny, on that note, you got about 1 minute to say whatever you want, and I got to move on. But tell us something. Tell us anything you want us to know.
Right now, I'm trying to put together a rally and demonstration here if I can get a sufficient number of people. I already have promises from the Philadelphia news stations that they will cover it and they will air it so that everyone knows about it. But I was wondering if it would be possible for you to attend, for you to come and be our voice.
It might be possible, and you know, you set a date, and I just got out of prison, so you know how that works.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Let's talk. Let's you and I talk, and send me an email on the date or whatever it is, then we'll make that decision at that time. I want to thank you for letting the world know that this stuff is real. Being a TI is real. whether you want to believe it or not, that's on you. If you want to stay in the dark, that's on you, you know, because these devils will go to any length to silence anyone who resists their criminal behavior. Generational mind games and other things that have come. 99% of the black population is afraid to awaken or take a stand. So those of us, we must take a stand. We must stand up. Thank you so much, Danny, for being on. We'll talk very soon. I got to move on, and I really, really appreciate you, and I want you to stay focused, and we'll talk very soon. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Yes. Being a TI is real. It's not something that people make up, you know, but they want you to believe that these people are insane. And I'm telling you, I've been around them. I've been around them for years now, and this stuff is real. But listen, I'm going to bring on my good friend Amy. Amy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I just got out of the mosque. You know, I'm rolling with Minister Farrakhan crew. We all have different levels and walks.
Absolutely. Roll on, my sister. Roll on. That's what I say. Go on and take care of your business because it is crucial. I know you have some important information that you want to distribute to us in reference to the TIs. I just got through talking to Danny, and you know, my TIs, I got a special love for them. I believe that, you know, that most people want to say that there's no such thing. Most people would like to say that these people are nuts. They would like to say things that's derogatory towards them, so people don't believe that it's happening. Believe me, it's happening. And my thing is, I know you have experienced this for many, many years, Amy, being a TI, and I think that trip to Washington where some of my friends, my house members, friends and stuff like that, they were sent packages, and they know that this stuff is real. But the point is, they want you to believe that it's not happening, that you are insane, but they can't say that I am insane. They can't say that, even though I might even be targeted by this government in some kind of way, which I believe is possible. But Amy, talk to me today. Tell me what you want my listeners to hear today from your very own lips. And I want you to go all the way back to where this stuff started. How did you determine you was a targeted individual? And let's take it from there.
Yes, I determined I was a targeted individual from birth based upon the transatlantic slave trade. See, they target people for different reasons, but I am part of the ancestors who were enslaved, and I trace my targeting back to the 18th and the 1900s, where my family was also enslaved by this technology. This technology can be traced back to 1797, and my family were used to breed enslavement, breed these offspring slaves in the future so they can be targeted, so they can keep this generational curse going on. So right now, I have a private investigator helping me with this case. And what I did was the perpetrator named Jonah R. Montranga. He's a part of that music and entertainment industry, a part of the Illuminati Society at the highest level you can ever go. Why? Because he's related to the families of these bloodlines of wealth, got the money, own the technology, control the doctors, control the political arena, and control the law enforcement agencies throughout the world. These people are fronting and different places in hiding and controlling the political arena. If they want you dead, if they want you to appear to be crazy, if they want you poverty to suffer poverty, being poverty stricken, if they want you in a situation where you appear to others as so-called mental disabled and no longer being able to function, where others think you not yourself, walking around talking to yourself, pushing a basket, homeless, and seem like you have poor hygiene. This is these people's plight to do this to people. But unfortunately, I had a spiritual side to me where I said to myself, I know I'm not crazy. After experiencing creating a computer glitch in this mastermind of this robotic engineering, which is called mind control, it's where you transmit sound waves to energy of sound waves to the person's skull, manipulate their behavior, and treat them like a human robot. And the person spent time fighting against that person, the groups of people who sitting on computers using artificial telepathy. Artificial telepathy is when you program the computer to transmit your voice over the airwaves and a voice synthesizer to the skull of the person and mimic this person's behavior and have this person do things that they normally wouldn't do. And the best way I can explain it is if you saw the movie with Denzel Washington, which was called Manchurian Candidate, every time they heard a person on the phone and got a certain, a code of language that created a trigger in that person's emotion, altering that person's mental states from states to different states, making them become other than themselves. Well, once these individuals, after the mover had removed me off of my place of employment, because I want you all to know, these private contractors are involved because it's the whistleblower, He had exposed NSA after working for them 30 years. And he was working on a project, and they had him not just working on the project, but making them think that he was helping contribute or protect the United States citizen. And all these private contractors with President Bush was working on another project to remove the American people's freedom from them and put in this program called Trailblazing after the 9/11 attack. So once they saw what they were doing to the people and learned that they had this mind control technology, which is sending these energy sound waves to the person, manipulating and controlling them, treating them like a puppet, he vowed to help the TI community. So what we need to know is it's a survey called Global TI Survey that TIs need to get online and fill out that survey, because not only William Benny and Mr. Weedy want to help TIs, but they want to make it publicly known worldwide. They want to get it into court, and they want to help scientists to make sense where the doctors will get involved and help the TIs and stop deeming them mentally ill. But as I was saying, I created a computer glitch, and Jonah R. Muntranger's network he was using, and when I was able to see things inside his network, I didn't know what I was looking for, but I thought it was strange for me to see my own elementary schools I first attended when I started out in elementary. And I said, this person knows something about me that I don't know about myself. Little did I know that this individual was manipulating me and members in my family bloodline, including manipulating the behaviors of my son to induce him into private prison so they can privatize and have stocks on my son after murdering his father, Larry II, in Vacaville State Prison, surgically mutilating him into death. And after I discovered how the patterns of these individuals, how they was using this technology on my family, I vowed to get active and make sure that I do what I need to do. So what I did to rehabilitate myself, I began to go to college. My major is administration of justice. I want to have a private business where I am helping the inmates outside before they, well, potential inmates before they get to prison. As a correction officer, I will help them get their lives together so that they won't fall victims of the prison system. So we got to work on every level. And I'm educating the people at the college campus about the technology, because every class I get, I attend, and my major, I continue to educate in my doing presentations for a grade. I use that as an instrument to expose the technology, because we cannot allow the people in this country, to rogue elements, to target our minds with sound waves and send subliminal messages to us and control our thoughts and emotions. One day you can feel happy. One day you can feel sad. One day you can have these different emotions. Why am I feeling like this? This is not the way I started out feeling. Where did that emotion come all of a sudden? Well, guess what? You can be a targeted individual. They have cloned all of our brains and uploaded them to a computer to be able to manipulate our memory. And one thing a computer have in common with a human being, we all are wired. A computer is wired. It has memory. It has data. It has storage. They're using that concept and programming a human, turning them into a robot. So with that said, I want to ask everyone to send donations to Reverend Pinckney to Banco. The reason why we want to do this, you're not paying Reverend Pinckney. You're helping yourself. Anybody on the front line want to fight this vicious rogue government with these individuals, want to take over the world and depopulate the planet and enslave our people or enslave different other cultures and have only 500,000 people on the planet, calling this planet theirs. It was people before these people were here, although we have to share the planet. But you can't say that who should live and who should die, who should have this resource and who should not have that resource. We have to be able to do what we have to do based upon working with people like Reverend Pinckney and other freedom fighters, because we can't let these people have us partying into these prison camps, and then there they burn us and kill us. They're going to do worse than they did the Jews, because the Jews will sacrifice their own to be able to get pity to control the world. That's how vicious these people are. Thank you for allowing me to share, Reverend Pinckney.
Absolutely. And let me say this to you, Amy. I know a lot of people who go around and say, they will say in a moment that this stuff is not true, that, you know, and they love to say, because that's what this all this fake news is about. You get a lot of fake news, and that fake news say, well, there's no such thing as a TI. But I'm here to tell you today, there is. I say it's over a million TIs here in the United States alone. And it's just not in this country. It's in other countries, too. They got mind control all over the world. But my thing is this. Let's stay focused. Let's do what we need to do. Spread the word. And let's continue to fight. Amy, I got to move on. Is there anything else you want to say? Take about 30 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires. You there, Amy? All right. Amy, we lost her. So let's move on to my very good friend from Louisiana. My friend who gave me the shock of my life, traveling all the way from Louisiana to Benton Harbor to Detroit to be with me on July the 8th. Her husband, her family, her children too. I just love them. And she is someone special. She's been doing some incredible work. I mean, when the work she's doing now is she have used her skills. skills to bring together judges, not prosecutors, but attorneys, and you know, elected officials, and especially down in the deepest part of the South. I don't know whether you can go any deeper than Louisiana. I don't know. Texas is a little bit deeper because it's close to Mexico. But, hey, listen, this is my friend, my girl, Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Picnic!
It's going down.
It's going down.
That's right. Well, tell them about it. But Belinda, what I want to talk a little bit about, tell us some of the magnificent work that you have done. Talk about that prosecutor, how you got them arrested and stuff like that. Because we need to do the same thing here. We got a prosecutor here named Mike Sepik that need to be arrested. And he worked, you know, they work with these old corrupt judges, and they think it's business as usual. But we have to tell them that it's no longer business as usual. Talk to us about all the great work that you have done, and you can start wherever you want. You know, you got about 15 minutes to do
this. Well, Pastor Picnic, I want to start right here because I want the people to know that I would have not missed your celebration for nothing in the world. It was. I'm telling you, Pastor Picnic, it was the best thing that I could have witnessed with my own eyes ever. You are a person that is so very much loved. I saw it with my own eyes. Anybody that missed that celebration, I want them to know that they missed a good thing. Pastor, I had such a great time, Pastor Picnic. I know I shocked you. I surprised you. I wish I could have just showed up at the celebration and just stood up and said, Pastor Picnic!
I would have said it's going down. Absolutely.
But I just want the people to know that I witnessed it with my own eyes, how much the people love you. You know, the room was packed. It was standing room only. I know the people just gave out of their heart, their love, their gifts, and I would not have missed it for nothing in the world. You and Dorothy, I'm telling you, it was a sight to see, you know, you and your wife standing there together with the grace of God and the presence of God upon your life, and everybody in that room knew that you were the one to be celebrated that day, Pastor Picnic. It was a great thing.
Oh, Belinda, it was beautiful. It was.
Yes.
I didn't
beautiful.
Really expect that. I did. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see that. You know, people would pour out like that from. You know, people came even from New York and every place else. And it was just a tremendous celebration. And and you know what? I'm still drained from it, Belinda.
But in the room, Pastor Picnic, you know, it was people from, like you say, from all over. People came on their bikes. I mean, they flew in. You know, we came in on the train. And I'm telling you, the room was so colorful. It was so beautiful. People of all different nationalities, races, and backgrounds. It was just a beautiful sight to see. And everybody's minds were just clear on the fact that we was there for a purpose, and that was to celebrate you and your wife and your freedom to stand up and fight back against the injustice that's been taking place in our country, Pastor Picnic. It's for everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, and here's the thing, Belinda, that a lot of people don't know, you know, you have to stand up and fight because, see, I fight for people who don't have the courage to fight for themselves and their children.
Right.
That's what I do because you got so many people who's not willing to stand up and fight. And they'll sell their soul to the devil in a minute. And you have to understand that there's things bigger than you. You know, to me, it's more important that we start this battle and continue to fight this fight and win this fight because this
well,
is just
a perfect example of that, Pastor Picnic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's more
I
of us than them.
You are the perfect example of that.
Why, that it's possible that we can flush these people out. But, you know, they've been brainwashing us. They've been treating us with just fake news and all this kind of stuff. And they believe it's okay, but it's not okay, Belinda. And I'm just happy to just be your friend, because I know that you've been working extremely hard. I know that you've been doing incredible things, and people need to know that we can get things done if we learn to work together. See, that's a weapon that they have used against us for years, Belinda. And keep us divided. Black
and you know what, Pastor Pinckney? I want to say this, because you are the perfect example of a person that, you know, have put theirself on the front line. You know, you and your family have sacrificed a lot. And when you say it's for the help of the people that can't help themselves, but I want people to know that it is a major, major sacrifice. You know, that people have to suffer to help people, and sometimes they don't even appreciate it. They ain't even thankful. They're not even grateful for the fact that you was put your life on the line and sacrifice everything that you have sacrificed to help them. You know, and I just thank God for you, Pastor Pinckney, because I know you are a real, true soldier. You are a man of God. You are not afraid. I mean, you know, you would stare them down in their faces, and I want to say this, because on my way out, you took me to the train station, but you was on your way to the courthouse dressed up in your suit to space them people down and let them know that you not fit to go away. It ain't nothing they can do to make you go away. And I'm just proud of you, Pastor Pinckney. Now, you know, you talking about me, but I think it is such an honor, it is such a blessing to know, you know, a person like you and your wife. And I just don't want to leave Dorothy out, because I'm telling you, she is a strong soldier. I mean, a strong woman of God that's on a mission, and she is determined to see justice, for everybody. And I just thank God for that. And I want you to know that, you know, I can't do it without you, because you the one who put the gasoline on my fire.
Hey,
you
know what?
You put the gasoline on my fire when I hooked up. See, civil rights, I mean, it's in my blood, in my family's blood, Pastor Pinckney. You know, if you come down here to Louisiana, we've been fighting all of our life, okay? But when I came up there to Michigan and I met you, Pastor Pinckney, I ain't never seen nobody like you that don't. I mean, I'm here to tell you, people, if you want to know somebody, you need to get to know this man, the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Because he's not afraid of nothing and nobody.
And you know,
I want the people to know you're the one who put the gasoline on my fire to come down here in Louisiana and face these people off and stand up and let them know the lead district attorney here in St. Tammany Parish, the parish that I live in, I told him, I said, you the criminal. You the one who going to go to jail. And sure enough, Pastor Pinckney, the man got indicted, and he was convicted and sentenced to 4 years in prison, him and his son.
I call that a double hitter. I call that a double hitter, because, look, they think they're above the law. You see, a lot of times, and they work together as a team, especially when you're the county prosecutor. You know, you're the highest officer, law enforcement officer, you know, in the whole county, but in your town is parishes, which certainly is another word for a county. But they think they're above the law, especially here. See, the prosecutor, he works with these judges to convict a lot of innocent people, and that way there's nobody to arrest them. But the FBI in Michigan is a little bit different than down there. See, the FBI here in Michigan, you see, they work with the prosecutor and the judges to help convict you. They work as a team. It's teamwork. And, you know, the bad part about that is that people just don't get it. See, even though that they're working together, law enforcement working together, it's the people. The people have to stand up. I told you the story about this lady from St. Joe. I got about 50 letters from people from St. Joe. And one really stood out to me when she She told me that. She said 67% of all the white people that live in Barron County are bad people. They're liars. They're corrupt. But then she went on and said 33% are good people, really good. And I would have said more like 80% are bad people. But this is her story. This is how she want to tell it. She said 33% are really good people, but the 67% overpowers the 33%. They intimidate them. They threaten them. And they don't want to be called out. And she said she is no longer being intimidated by this corrupt system here in Barron County. Those are her words, not mine. And this is this lady. She's real wealthy, and she said it. She said she's sick of these people. She said the way these people is treating people, something needs to be done. And she said she's going to do everything within her power.
Well,
to bring these people down, the Michael Sepics, the Sharocks, the Losadas, the Judge Wiley, and these people, he said, because these people have been given a free ride because no law enforcement. And think about the, you haven't heard about this, but over 50 women have been molested inside the Barron County Jail by the Sheriff's Department. Over 50. I'm talking about. I met one the other day, and she said, we came up with 7 more women. I said, 7 more? It can't be no more. They said they're coming all out of the woodwork. And the boy, Markel Hadley, they said that he hung himself. They hung him. They killed him. They killed that boy. But the point is, the people won't come together and stand up and fight this monster. We're fighting a monster, Belinda. This is the real deal, Belinda. This is no joke. This is, you know, but people need to come together. We can't separate ourselves.
That's how we were able to defeat a lead district attorney and a coroner, which is the two most powerful people in our parish. It's the coroner and the district attorney, the lead district attorney. We were able to defeat them because the people came together. And I'm talking about, you know, Pastor Pinckney, it's kind of sad, but I got to tell the truth. It was more white people than black people that realized, because I really think that the black people were afraid, because these people had been in office for over 3 decades. They was, and wouldn't nobody even put their name in the hat to run against these people. Okay, and not only did we put the lead district attorney in prison along with his son, and we targeted 7 others, judges, the sheriff, he's no longer in office. You know, we got 3 judges off the bench, okay? Some of them had to go to rehab, okay, because they was too drunk to even take the bench. They had to have the court in the back room in their chambers. Okay, high on drugs, you know, and this stuff had to be exposed, Pastor Pinckney. It had to be exposed, and that was our mission, to expose this kind of injustice in our criminal justice system. And the people came out, and we rallied, and we spoke loud. Our voices were heard loud. It was a loud cry that we called the sheriff a murderer because people was committing suicide inside of his jail. And he was putting them in squirrel cages and torturing them and feeding them slop inside of the jail. We exposed all of it, okay? And because of the district attorney was in 64 parishes here in Louisiana. And in our parish, we had a 54% conviction rate. Our parish was putting more black men in prison than all of the parishes put together in the whole state of Louisiana percentage. So what we decided to do was go after him. We had to go after the low-hanging fruit, but I'm here to tell you, this man was so corrupt, Pastor Pinckney would make you throw up. He was so corrupt. And when we, what we really got him on, because we had to start filing lawsuits against him, 1993, we had one lawyer, was a white young man. He said that he went in to get a deal for one of his clients, and the district attorney, Walter Reed was his name, well, is his name, he said that, oh, is it a black man or a white man? Oh, I know that black man. Give him 60 years, and if he blink at that, give him life. And I'm here to tell you, it was a witness in the room. And that attorney came back, and that young man joined up with our organization, and I'm here to tell you, we filed a 1993 against him, Pastor Pinckney, a civil rights action, and we are suing him right now to this day. And we're going to go, and we have to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. This young man is going to get justice, because the only reason why the lead district attorney wanted to give him 60 years to life in prison because he was a black man.
Absolutely. You know what, Belinda? I believe that, you know, they try to give us the maximum amount of time that they can give someone. And just like Linda Allen's son, Mario Allen, you know, they gave him 45 years, which was ridiculous.
Wow.
He got to do all 45. And, you know, and that's one of the cases that we need to work on. We need to bring the justice, but I'm trying to get things organized now so I can be organized to deal. And what I've done now, I'm setting up channels where people can go in and do what they need to do with whether I'm there or not. See, my thing, I'm planning more for the future for other people to step up and do what needs to be done. And that's really my plan, Belinda, but you have really, really worked hard down there. You have worked miracles down there. And, you know, you're dealing with a system that don't believe anything about that lady with the scales of justice. You know, we know that they're imbalanced. There's no such thing. The hypocrisy of this country has no limits. And we know that. But we have to do what we have to do and understand who we're fighting against. And call these people out. We got to call them by their name. If they're murderers, we need to call them murderers. If they're corrupt, we need to call them corrupt. You know.
Right.
And here's the thing: when we pick it on Tuesday, that's the anniversary of these officers getting killed. And here's the thing: I don't care nothing about these officers. They don't mean nothing to me. You see.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see in hell. You don't get no points for being law enforcement. You know, and regardless of what they say, we have a God. We have one true God who gonna stand up, and he the only one can put you in heaven or put you in hell. This fake news can't put you in heaven. They can't. And it's impossible for them to put you in heaven, because that's if you don't belong in heaven. You see. So what we have to do, we can't go by what other people say. We gotta go out here and do what we need to do. Stand up for what's right.
That's what we're doing, Pastor Pinckney. I wanna let the people know one of the things that we're organizing and mobilizing the people here in the state of Louisiana. You know, we have been very successful in changing the sentencing laws. You know, that's where the root of it all lies. You know, as citizens, we have united together with various grassroots organizations and foundations, and we're coming together to rewrite the laws here in the state of Louisiana. We just met with our governor about a week or so ago. He signed, you know, all the laws that we rewrote except for one, and that was on the death penalty. But we're going back next year on the same front, and we're going to be fighting to get the laws changed for, you know, various sentencing laws, because people receive the excessive amount of time for the crimes that they commit, especially when it's nonviolent. And then we want to change the laws so we can, you know, it's laws for blacks and it's laws for whites, okay? And what we're doing is showing them, we're pointing it out, we're exposing it, that we will not tolerate it. It will not happen on our watch that you is going to sentence a black man and give him more time for the same crime that a white man commit, and just because he's black, no, it's not going to happen anymore, because we got the proof now. We got the facts that this is what y'all been doing, and you're not going to get away with it anymore. So that's one of the main things, Pastor Pinckney, that we got to change these laws, because they make up their own rules as they go, and then they want us to, you know, and half of them is illegal. They putting laws, they making up laws, listen to me, and they're illegal according to our Constitution. But when you get into the de facto courtrooms and kangaroo courtrooms, they exercise these made-up illegal laws, and they use them against us. And we got to expose this. We have to expose it. So that's what we're doing, Pastor Pinckney, and I want the people to know that we have to do it together. We cannot be lone rangers on this situation anymore, and we have to do it on a nationwide level. Our voices got to be heard loud and clear that we are not going to be abused by this kind of injustice anymore. To put a man like you in prison, I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, to put you in prison, prison is for criminals. It's not for people like you. It hurt me so bad, Pastor Pinckney, that these people think they can do that and get away with it. They're not going to get away with it. Judgment Day is coming, and it's already here.
Amen, amen. Belinda, that you hit the nail right on the head. You know, these evil, wicked people think that they're going to get away. And I can't believe not for one second that these guys, these judges and stuff that are doing all this evil stuff actually believe that they're going to have a place in heaven. I'm not even buying it. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. But listen, Belinda, we ran out of time. I want to bring on my good friend Robert just for a second. And
I want people to know they got to read your book. They got to get that book. They got to get the Soldiers of Truth.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have a book I call The Soldier of Truth, The Trial of Reverend Edward Pinckney by Phil Baskett. And those of you can go to Amazon.com and purchase it. Please go out there and get the book. And thank you, Belinda, for reminding me, because I'm always thinking about other people rather than myself. And that's crucial. But listen, I only got about 90
right.
seconds.
Maybe next time we can talk about your book, Pastor.
Robert, I got to let you go.
Okay, now. Bye-bye.
All right. Robert, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. Pastor Pinckney, I'm here. I just want to let you know, you need your time to close out. I'm here to support. What we have to remember from our community, we're still in the land of our captivity.
Absolutely.
And that's not going to change until we get justice across the board. So
absolutely.
With that note, I'll let you go on and close out and make your final statements, and I'll tune in again next week.
All right. And don't forget to send me that phone number for Booger tonight.
I will do it. I'm doing it right now. I'm going online now to get that to you.
All right. Listen, I just walked in. I really just want to thank everybody for coming on the show and listening today. But we have to come together. We have to start doing what needs to be done. Because right now, you know, it's up to us. It's not up to them. It's up to us to stop these people. Because we know what they're going to do. They're evil and they're wicked. And the thing is, they haven't just got evil and wicked. They've been evil and wicked all along, you see. But the point is, it's up to us. On that note, I'm going to close out, and stay tuned. I'll be same time, same station next week, and we'll have a couple of special guests for you, someone who actually knows. But believe me, target individuals actually exist. On that note, I have to say, good night, all.